The Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by A&E, an all-new original Horatio Hornblower movie, set sail tonight at 8, 7 Central on A&E.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, coming up, we've got Clara Bingham today. Ms. Bingham is a middle school substitute teacher at Joyful Union Congregation Bellflower, but we're going to be talking about her nephew, Robert Burton, I believe is his name, who was assaulted in Pomona by police officers, brutally assaulted. Yes, he had been accused of raping two elderly women, one of them an amputee, and yes, he was accused of pulling a gun on the police officers, but what has that got to do with anything? So we'll be talking with her, and then Bobby Dooley from the West of the States Homeowners Association. Apparently at an after-Thanksgiving sale, there's another elderly lady who was abused. She was trampled because of Bobby pushing her down while Bobby was going for the 250 thread count Ralph Lauren sheets. So just, you know, another day on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll also be giving you another taste from our Death of Talk Radio CD, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, available now for sale. It is hands down, the greatest radio comedy CD that you're going to hear this year, each and every year. And it's a two-CD set because the material on our show is so plentiful and bountiful, we had to cram it in to two CDs, but it's the same price, $20, and all the money goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood, California. While you're in our souvenir shop, I would be completely remiss. This is not a sales thing. I'm doing you a favor. So you gotta hear this, because this is a huge, huge favor that I feel we can do for you, and I want to do this for you. Christmas is coming up. What do you want to run around and you want to muscle people and you want to trample old ladies just so you can get to some Santa Claus mug that you want to buy? Forget it. You don't want to get into the malls. You know what's going to happen. You're going to get in there. You're going to get low blood sugar fatigue. You know how you are. You're going to begin to get dizzy. You're going to have to sit down. There's going to be all those packages. You don't think you can make it to the car. And finally, someone's going to die, right? You're going to have to kill somebody. Why do that when you can go to the Phil Hendry Show Souvenir Shop? Yes, available there, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Deluxe Barbecue Set. Everything you need holiday coming up? Hanukkah? Thanksgiving? Christmas. Ah, that's when who was born? Okay. Everything you need for the Christmas vacation and holiday and all that crap, you can find on our website. So why fight the mall crowds? Why go in there with a guy looking back at you and going, nope, you know, fresh out. Yeah, yeah, well, you know, Christmas time. And all you want to do is just rear back and just do maybe just a roundhouse. Maybe a little uppercut on the chin, huh? You know how it is? You get there, hi, do you have the, oh boy, am I glad you're still open. Yes, sir. Yeah, do you have the Pokemon, or whatever the hell's happening this year? I forget. Jesus, my kids aren't small anymore. What's the toy? What's Duke's thing? What's the new toy? Come on, you got to lay it on me, man. It's got to be Halo. It's got to be some vid game. PS2 games, yeah, like Final Fantasy. Hi, do you got Final Fantasy 11? You know what? We're sold out. It's Christmas. You dirty... Go to our website, baby, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Deluxe Barbecue Set. For the guy that likes the barbecue in your family. You know what we sold a hell of a lot of during the Thanksgiving holiday? The Ted's apron. Lots of aprons. People dig that, you know? And when you're cooking in the kitchen, you got your Ted's of Beverly Hills apron. Also, how about a beautiful spa at Western Estates Terry Velour Robe? You can buy that for your wife or something, or for the ladies in the house. Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu Resort shirt. That's also a bowling shirt. It's a gorgeous resort-style shirt, though. We got our Citizens Auxiliary Police clip-on compass watch. Clip it on the belt. I never go anywhere without it. And that way, I look like a janitor. So people won't say, excuse me, are you Phil Hendry? No, I got keys, and I have a watch hanging off my belt, and I look like I know where I can get the mops. Like, somebody threw up, one of the heavyweights here at Clear Channel puked in Mr. Kitchen's office. You there with the clip-on watch. Yes, sir, I'll go get the mop right now. We have the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. And,
clean up on aisle three.
Then I just go down there, even though I'm a customer. We also have our official Phil Hendry Show cap and our Phil Hendry black and white coffee and latte mug. Huh? That latte mug, gotta have that. Go to the souvenir shop. I think it'll be well worth it, and you won't have to drive yourself ape, and you can have a beautiful holiday, you know. Maybe at least you can get some of the shopping done there, right? All right, coming up is Clara Bingham. to talk about her nephew Robert beaten by police. This police brutality thing, we're gonna talk it out here on the Phil Hendry Show. Or is it? Is it police brutality or are people asking for it? Little word to the wise, a glow-in-the-dark fish is now available. Now, you say to yourself, "What? So what?" Well, glow-in-the-dark fish? Yeah, well, what does that mean, Phil? It means this is a fish that's been genetically altered. Understand, folks, that we now have a genetically altered fish that is being sold as a Christmas present. It is not available in the state of California because it's against the law to sell genetically altered animals in the state of California. Is this a Ray Bradbury novel yet or not? Is this Blade Runner yet or not? Are we in a Frederick Pohl short story? It's against the law to sell genetically altered animals in California. Who's the guy that wrote Electric Sheep Dream of something or other? Philip Dick. Philip K. Dick. He had that whole thing about fake animals. Forget about robots. See, the human race is lousy at predicting its own future. We've always been lousy at it. Even the greatest prognosticators, Jules Verne perhaps was the best. He predicted helicopters and submarines. H.G. Wells, way off the mark. You name it, man. Any of the real great, who was the other guy that made, was it H.G. Wells with the time machine? Leonardo da Vinci, I think, was also the one who prognosticated helicopters. And a few of these writers, Things to Come. Who wrote Things to Come? Was that H.G. Wells, too? H.G. Wells was an idiot then. I mean, every book I'm thinking of that got it all wrong was H.G. Wells. George Orwell couldn't figure it out. Nobody can figure it out. You want to know why? Because we cannot get outside of ourselves. In order to predict the future accurately, you have to get completely outside of yourself and put yourself into a place that you've never been before. We're not going to have robots, folks. We're going to have genetically altered humans that will do the work for us. Boy, Phil, you really are something else, man. Looks like you've been reading comic books. Oh, really? Hey, listen, Charlie, glow-in-the-dark fish? I ain't making that up. I ain't making that up at all. Glow-in-the-dark fish, genetically altered fish, so you can... Now, I'm not saying it's good, and I ain't saying it's bad, but I am saying this, how long before Frankenstein? Come on, think about it. Think about it. There, you know, what, give me about 20 minutes after lunch, and some Italian scientist will come up with it, because those wops, they don't care about international law. They're over there breeding genetic mutants as we speak. And that whole mad scientist thing that we used to giggle about as kids, there's a guy in a laboratory somewhere underneath the Saskatchewan crust right now going, and a little guy with a hump. The whole thing's happening. Some pissed off scientist, right? He got thrown out of the Academy for brain surgeons. They didn't like his idea for a better floor wax. They thought he should take his idea for, you know, how to get more season tickets out at the Lambeau Field and park it right up his rear end. So he thinks they're just all against him. He's got the ego problem, like all those mad scientists do. And he sits there with Igor late at night, and he goes, they'll see, they'll know. What are you going to do, Doc? Well, I'll create a monster. Oh, man. What? I worked for a cat named Frankenstein, and... Oh, shut up with him, all right? Guy's throwing him up in my face. Well, he's the last guy that did it good. Did it good? Wait till I genetically alter one of these cats. I don't have to stitch anybody together, man. I can get them all borned and stuff. Get them all borned. Yeah, you're a real Nobel Prize winner, you are. Like, what do you want from me, man? I didn't get out of the third grade, okay? All of this stuff, popular mechanics, this is where I got it all out of, okay? I can stitch a cat together, and... What do you stitch a cat together? Forget that! This is called genetic engineering. They're born, man! We mess with the DNA, we go in there with the RNA, everything... We go right in, we screw it up, and then we stick it back into the womb, and then the thing is born, and it looks like something right out of an ecology disaster, something right out of a toxic waste dump. It'll be fantastic! Yeah, so that's one more thing we gotta sweat, right? But at least we're in an advanced society. We could turn a whole army of mutants loose on Iraq. Scare those freaking ragheads to death, wouldn't it? Oh, boy! You think God's on your side, huh? You cats ain't seen nothing yet, man. Allah wants this and Allah wants that, and God willing this and God willing that. Look, you're getting your ass kicked already, so it looks like God's willing that. And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to come down on you like a freaking broom with a whole army of mutants. And there ain't nothing in the Quran about that, I can guarantee you. Although I think Revelation's like pigmen. How about, you know, how about that for all the ragheads? You don't like pork, do you? How about a whole army of pigs coming down on you? The big snout faces coming down on those ragheads hunkered down in their bunkers. There's Osama, man. He's just about to sit down to some pork chops, and suddenly the pigmen come through the thing. Hey, Osama, what do you do with the pork chops? Will you leave me alone, okay? They're good. And I got them on sale over at Alpha Beta. All right, 1-800-44. So that's this glow-in-the-dark fish. Jesus. Yeah, look, here's the thing. Understand, you can't wag your finger at a scientist and say, don't you do this. They're going to break the law. The scientists will break the law as fast as anybody else. Maybe faster. You're going to tell a guy who is intellectually superior to all of us scum, you can't clone humans and genetically alter them. He's going to look at you and go, crazy people. He's got a castle someplace. It's going to happen. Unless he's like that mad scientist in The Thing with Two Heads or whatever that... Remember that movie, The Thing That Wouldn't Die? This guy was a mad scientist, but he lived in a split-level stucco house in San Fernando. He didn't have a castle. He had like a... some kind of a subdivision home. It was the weirdest thing. Yeah, he lived on Balboa right out here in Encino. And he had a ghoul in a basement that was like, what, out near the service porch or something? What... All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley also joins us today to talk about an injury sustained to a woman by Bobby when she was trying to get in front of the line for an after-Thanksgiving sale. It's all coming up here. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, and our 2003 CD available at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, we got another signing coming up, a CD signing. This is going to be at Dave and Buster's at the block at Orange, 20 City Boulevard West. 20 City Boulevard West in Orange. And it'll be on December the 23rd from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Now, this was a tradition for the Phil Hendry Show that was interrupted briefly last year, and we're very sad that it was, but we couldn't avoid it. I, all of a sudden, was overcome with laziness. However, I went to the doctor, and I got some stuff for it. It's called OxyContin, and I'm going to be at the Block at Orange at Dave & Buster's. Dave & Buster's is awesome. I used to hang out at the one in Fort Lauderdale. It's a bitchin' place. I hope the one in Fort Lauderdale is still cool. I used to go there every Friday night after my show, meet for cocktails there in the sports bar, then ride one of the goofy rides, throw up, and go home. It was great. Dave & Buster's out there at the Block at Orange. Is it still an adult place? It used to be adults only, and no kids were allowed after 8 o'clock. You got a chaperone if you're some little punky kid. You can't get in there, kid, unless you got an adult. So ha-ha on you. Only adults. Everyone that shows up, get a free game card worth $5. Under 21 must be escorted by a 25-year-old chaperone in a short skirt with really big wads of money in her purse. Now, just a bit of Hollywood news for you guys. I don't want to bore you with the details, but you guys like to go to the movie. You want to follow what your celebrities are doing, right? You know, they're having a big deal over here in Hollywood, and it was a thing put together by a lady named Lori David, and she's invited a bunch of screenwriters and producers and crap to plan out the 2004 election. How is Hollywood going to respond to George Bush, right? And she sent out an email that said, Hate Bush 12-2 event, which is tonight. It's going to be over here, some hotel in Beverly Hills. I don't know what the hell it is. And they're going to sit down and they're going to think and talk and scratch their noodles and figure out how they're going to kick Bush's ass out of there in 2004. What can they do in Hollywood? Well, the first thing you guys can do, honest to God, just this is coming from an outsider, but I got a suggestion, and I bet you there'll be a lot of people who agree with me. Yeah, you don't want to hear it, but here it is. The first thing you need to do is make sure that the Democratic Party is a party that isn't just about whatever Bush likes they're against. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe you don't, but I'm going to try to put it as simply as I can. Speaking as a Democrat who wouldn't go near an event like this if they sent me a freaking Rolls-Royce limousine, which they ain't even close to doing. They don't know me from if they fell over me. But the fact of the matter is, I'm a member of that party, but I can tell you this right now. Somebody invites me to a Hate Bush event, I got to sit there and say, well, what are you talking about, man? When are you guys going to get serious? When are you going to get serious and figure out what it is the Democratic Party wants to do as opposed to just whatever Bush likes you guys are going to be against? President wants to take the war to the terrorists. Well, then we're against that. Why? Well, give us a couple of minutes. Are you nuts, man? Don't you see how transparent you are? President wants to drill for oil in Alaska. We're against that. Why? But the environment, the caribou. Oh, come on. You know, I'm telling you right now, until you guys get together, you want to get serious. See, Hollywood, you guys will be interested in this. Hollywood has had this idea that it can influence American politics since World War II. It started in World War II. Before World War II, Hollywood didn't give a crap. They were out here, they were doing blow, they were smoking good green, they were drinking bathtub gin, making movies, couple of them getting busted for raping a starlet, but whatever, you know, what's that between friends? Every now and again a guy gets shot in a lover's quarrel, but all the movie stars lived out here, sat on their ever-widening asses, made some mostly really bad movies, and occasionally there were some brilliant ones, and, you know, then all of a sudden somebody started blowing smoke up their ass, and they realized that maybe they had a little bit of influence, and boy, Hollywood's one of the greatest places in the world for patting itself on the back. And when World War II broke out, there was a guy by the name, I think it was either Thalberg or Selznick, one of these producers out here, he got the bright idea that we can actually influence policy. They made propaganda films, which were very, very beneficial to the war effort. Films like Bataan with Robert Taylor and Sands of Iwo Jima with John Wayne. They went on bond drives, raised money for the war effort. People wanted to come out to see the movie stars. They had a thing over here, right here in town, called the Hollywood Canteen, where movie stars would show up and a GI could go in, have a cup of coffee, and dance with some broad who was in a movie for 5 minutes. And how do we know about this? Because Hollywood made a movie about it because they couldn't pat themselves on the back too fast for that one, too. So all of a sudden, they were full of themselves. And they became the new, like almost like the little angel that sits on the shoulder. They saw themselves as the really the good guy voice of America. And they went about the business of being the good guy voice. We got now freaking movie stars that are elected president. We got them as governors. We got them as bloody senators. They're all over the place. They're crawling all over us. They're like freak, it's like gonorrhea. And now they're meeting. And now, any stupid thing they say, we're supposed to say, well, Jesus, Hollywood says it's got to be something important. After all, you guys, you know, bond drives, Hollywood Canteen, Ronald Reagan, you know. Ronald Reagan, that's a hot one. Today, a great man died, a man by the name of Clark Kerr. You don't know who he is, but I will tell you who he is. He's a man who envisioned for the state of California, the University of California system, quality education at a low price. And that man died yesterday. And he got the top third of California high school graduates into the UC system, top eighth in the California state system. Then along came a guy named Reagan who decided to cut the budget, you know, keep the money away from government and all that good stuff. Well, guess what? The UC system's a piece of crap today because of that. This guy, Mr. Kerr, he died. He tried to do the right thing, but, you know, we got to save the money, baby. We got to cut the budget. Too much money for Mexicans. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. Julia Louise Dreyfus. God, would I like to have sex with her.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And now The Phil Hendry Show presents... news that pro football players can really understand. Here is Bud Dickman.
Thanks a lot, Phil. This time now, news football player understand.
Picture shows.
Who is this fag? Get it out of here. Jesus. Jesus.
Sorry, Bud.
God. Hey. New football player understand. They're going to give out free rubbers in another city.
And now more news the pro football player is going to understand. Here again, Bud Dickman.
President Bush, they hate him. There's a man who wants to... A man beat up a guy. They beat him up. Another bunch of men who come from Arab town, they don't like them.
Now the weather with Bud Dickman for football players who can't understand the news.
It's gonna be pretty hot.
Now back to the news.
There's a guy, they said he killed his wife. He probably did. He cut her and he dumped her.
Now in the financial world.
They say adults are stupid. They have the same disease kids have.
Now in the world of sports.
A man killed a kid.
And now more national news with news football players can understand, Bob Dickman.
There's a guy and he has a Muslim name and his name's Muhammad and he killed people with a gun driving down a road and stuff.
Now news about the Democratic meeting in Beverly Hills tonight.
A bunch of people who do drugs and...
Take a sip of water.
Okay, hold on. They're stupid.
And now more news.
Little kids who have been arrested for killing their parents are going to be taken to a better jail than they keep them in now. They build a better jail for kids what killed their parents.
And finally...
Women who smoke cigarettes can get cancer.
This has been news that even pro football players could understand. Here's Bud Dickman. And now, an editorial comment from Bud Dickman, Vice President of News That Even Pro Football Players Can Understand News Corporation. Bud?
Good evening, everyone. I'm Bud Dickman. I think it's stupid that I have to go to bed at 8:30.
A presentation of NBC News and the Public Affairs Department of the University of Southern California.
In association with Bud Dickman Productions. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show in a minute. Don't forget our number, 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham and Bobby Dooley coming up next.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, another great thing to get for Christmas. That's right, the Phil Hendry Best of the Year 2003, the Death of Talk Radio CD, double CD set. Here's a cut from our CD for the Best of 2003 CD, the Death of Talk Radio. This is our character Vernon Dozier, and the track is called Chinee, as in Chinaman.
You know, this guy's talking about communicating on an intellectual level. That means blowing a horn and
No kidding. Hey.
There he goes again.
Yeah, watch the horn.
I only did it because of that old lady who didn't want to listen.
Traffic.
What?
I think that everybody's been right as so far that he has some real control issues and possibly an inferiority complex.
I thought you were going to give me a discussion.
Well, let's discuss. Talk to me intelligently.
All right, here I will.
Explain to me why you want to remove a child's freedom of expression.
Well, no, wait. Hold on.
All right.
I believe...
And freedom of individuality?
They're under the age of 18. They have to be controlled a certain way. In my classroom, they don't talk about what I don't want them to talk about. They talk about what I tell them to talk about. I'm a teacher, okay? I don't know what you know about what I do, Sean, but I teach. No kid comes into my class and says,
my daddy,
you know, I'm going to...
Well, why can't you take that and build on it? And these people you talk about that barely speak English, why don't, as a teacher, why don't you offer them some sort of a way
One of my kids is Chinese. All right. One of my boys in my class, a very bright boy, comes from China, Taiwan. He's got two parents. Oh, man. They always are calling me up, and they want some kind of a teacher conference. And everything is bong, pow, bong, what the hell is that, you know? And I can't understand a thing they're saying.
Are you serious?
What?
Are you serious? Bong, pow, pow. What is it with you, man? Are you an educator?
Why can't you put them in touch with somebody to teach them English? You know,
well,
the reading is fundamental group.
I would love to do that, but I can't stand there at a teacher-parent conference, and they're sitting there with their mouths wide open and a little bit of spit. And they're all, that's like every Jap movie I ever.
Get them some help. You're a teacher.
Yes.
You're supposed to teach,
and
man.
How do you have a parent-teacher conference with people that don't speak English?
The boy interprets.
The son is there.
Yes.
Well, then now you're insulting the parents in front of the son?
I don't insult them. They're insulting me by coming into my room, into my office, and they're going, hang on, hold on, and every kind of thing that reminds me of every Charlie Chan, God.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
What difference does it make what somebody does for a living?
It doesn't. But why do they get to tell me what to do for my line of... See, I don't come to your office and tell you what to do. But you come to mine to tell me what to do.
Because his kid may be in your class.
No, I don't come to your office and tell you what to do.
All these teachers, because these parents come into my office and go, oh, you know, why don't you not knock it off with this and don't do that. And you ought to hear the Chinamen. When they talk, it sounds like somebody dropping silverware, like the ching, clang, clang, ching. And I tell them to go to chew on a chopstick or something.
You're an educated man.
8 years, yes, sir. I got my master's degree.
You sound like an idiot. You sound like an idiot. Sounds like silverware dropping.
Everything is clang, ching, chong, all that jazz. I'm an educated man.
It's not an intelligent conversation with you, man. You're a tart. You're a bigot.
I'm not a bigot.
You're a control freak.
I'm a teacher.
You have a lot of issues, man. There are people out there to help you.
I'll tell you what. Go into an inner city school and ask them if they don't need some control freaks there.
Let the guy talk.
I spent several years of my life working for one of the states in our country in the Department of Corrections. Okay? That's inner city as you get. Okay?
Yeah. And you could use some control freaks.
You don't earn respect like that.
I pulled my
you
eyes.
You don't teach anybody like that.
Well, that may be. But these people come in the only way.
You have very little humanity in you.
Sir, I love that.
You said it was a sad state of affairs when children start learning their parents' opinions. I would rather children in this country learn their parents' opinions than your...
That's a good point, Sean.
Communistic rhetoric.
Communistic? Wait a second. I try to relate to these
Taliban rhetoric.
Hey,
I
try to relate to these parents. I pull these parents.
No, you don't let them have any freedom of expression.
I am attempting to
relate. You don't want to have any opinions.
I don't want them standing up in my class and going, yeah, my Chinese father says... This guy
Why not?
Because he just got off the boat. He can't.
It's America, brother. This is America.
This is the United States of America. People.
Yeah, but the guy don't speak English.
You need to embrace everybody.
How can he have an opinion when he don't speak English?
He says it to his son, who then comes in and says to you, you know, my father, he's recently arrived in this country. He has an opinion.
Look, I try to relate to these. I pull the eyes back. I do the slanted. But I do it for a gag when they come in.
I don't know why you get so... You're such an educated man. Why do you get so upset over opinions anyway? You know what they say about opinions. Everybody's got one.
You
That's our right in this country. And if you as a teacher, especially with 8 years of where'd you say? I don't know. South Carolina?
South Carolina. Oh, that's a hot one.
Well,
I went to the University of Southern California.
Okay.
Where have you ever heard of the Trojans?
Yeah, the rubber.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's a condom.
I've been to Southern California.
It's a condom, huh?
Yeah.
I've been to Southern California. I've been to Texas. I've been to New Mexico.
Well, I've been to two World Fairs.
Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee.
What are you,
this
homeless?
Doesn't make me better than anybody else.
Look, the Chinese boy comes into my class, but that friggin' Mr. Spock haircut, he tells me his dad's opinion, which nobody can understand, and it's because it's a bunch of this, and all that stuff, and you know the communists run that country, and I'm supposed to be patient with that.
That's look, why he's over here
you
now.
Have every
you know,
swinging Chinaman coming on here.
You're not sounding much better than what he left.
Boy,
man.
No kidding. And it's a bad representation of our country, Mr. Dozier. Bad.
Look, I'm 59 years
think
of
age. I think you got ripped off
asses.
On the education you paid for. If they didn't teach you just a bare minimum to teach you how to take somebody's opinion in stride. Or turn it around and show them another way, another view on that matter.
Okay, fine. Now I got to ask you a question because now you've pushed me to it. And I will ask you, and I hope you give me a straight answer.
Shoot.
Are you Chinese?
Shoot.
Are you Chinese?
Am I Chinese?
That's what I said. I don't study.
No, I'm not Chinese.
Well, that's a bunch of bullcrap. You can't possibly be talking the way you're talking without you being a Chinaman.
There you go.
You know, this guy.
Oh, turn it down. Man, the best line in there is sounds like a bunch of silverware dropping. Cling, clang, ching. That's from our Best of the Year 2003 CD, Vernon Dozier. It's called, the bit's called Chinee. Look for it on disc 2. If you hang around here long enough, I guess I'll play the whole bloody CD and you won't have to go buy it. But if you do buy it, it means that you are giving money over to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And Mick Jagger's going to get knighted by the Queen, just further proving they'll knight anybody over there. What is the point? What's the point? Mick Jagger's going to get a knighthood. Well, why not, Phil? Well, I don't know, but I thought when you got knighted, you got something... What? Well, you were some kind of a big hero or something. Well, you are. Well, the guy's a rock singer. I thought a knight was a dude that wore armor and went out and beat up on Jews. Isn't that Mick Jagger? Well, now that you mention it. No, I thought a knight was a guy who was... Anyway, Mick Jagger's going to be knighted by the Queen. Good for you, Mick. Jesus, they make these announcements now like it's a real big deal. Being knighted by the Queen. So what, man? So I just see where Britney Spears got a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Whatever. They might as well knight Britney Spears while they're at it. Why not? Can't a woman be knighted? What are women? Are they damsels or some crap? Oh, they're dames. What's that mean? She drops a kerchief from a tower someplace? A dame. No wonder we broke off from those nutballs, you know? I mean, it's, you know, they're nice people, the British, but thank you, Jesus, we got nothing to do with them anymore. That's why you Canadians, Janice, you guys got to get your act wired straight, will you? Get rid of her, then get her, kiss her off your money, and let's get with it. You guys got to get to be, you know, swing a little more with America. Come on down. We'll show you around. You know, you can come to my house for a little barbecue. Huh? Mick Jagger is going to get knighted. All right, good for you, Mick. Way to do it, baby. You don't mind me calling you Mick, do you? Also, we have a little news for you. This has to do with, by the way, coming up, Clara Bingham on police brutality. Her nephew was beaten up by the police, and Bobby Dooley on an injury sustained by a woman who wouldn't get out of her way during a post-Thanksgiving Day sale. A soldier who married an Iraqi is going to be discharged. Now, this is another one of those stories. What are we going to do? Phil explains the news in the 2 hours from now? All right, okay. But this one could also be Phil explains the news. Because they want this story to tug at your heartstrings like, oh, isn't that terrible? He's marrying an Iraqi woman, and now he's being discharged. An American soldier has been reprimanded and will be discharged for taking a break from a foot patrol in Baghdad to marry an Iraqi woman. Sean Blackwell is being punished for divulging the time and location of the patrol to his bride and the Iraqi judge who married them, his attorney said. The Florida National Guardsman avoided a possible court-martial for dereliction of duty and disobeying orders. Well, anyway, the guy's going to get his ass kicked out. And for what? Because he's marrying some Iraqi chick? Well, that's fine. You know, love is beautiful. Dude, you're supposed to, like, do your job, then go marry the chick. Don't do it in the middle of the gig. I'd get fired if I did that. Unless I'm marrying my, you know, like, Marie and I got married while I was working, so it worked out. Also, another thing, if and when you have a baby, no announcements in the mail. No announcements in the mail, no announcements in the mail. No pictures of the pregnant wife and you half naked from the waist up, hugging her. You didn't do that, did you, Mark? Thank God. Somebody showed me a oh, man, wait till you hear this. Someone showed me a pregnancy announcement. See, they're sending out we're pregnant cards now. Did you get that one? What is it with you, Henry? Don't you like people who, you know, women who have I don't care. It's fine. But please understand that when you invade my home with a picture of your ugly fat gut hanging out, along with your half-nude husband, something that I'm having to look at while I'm trying to eat breakfast, excuse me, but don't I get to keep my food down, or do I have to look at you with your big pregnant stomach? Because she sends out this picture that lands on the desk of one of my colleagues here, and she says, get a load of this. And I looked at it, and it's the get a load of this. It's the woman with the big pregnant stomach hanging out with her shirt up. He's feeling her up. I'm not kidding you. And he's nude from the waist up. And the picture is, you know, some in the caption is, we're pregnant. With a big-ass note about how they're the first couple in the history of the human race ever to have a baby. Basically. Why don't you just go ahead and send out pictures of as the kid was emerging from the birth canal? You know, big, big glossy color photos of that with juniors arriving. You know, something really cool. How about that? How about you being held down while you're cursing your husband's name, screaming at the top of your lungs, you know, with your face matted with sweat? I'd love that. Send that one out. Now, they don't want to send that out, do they? They send out the big gut, the sonogram, all the little picture of the kid, which, by the way, I don't know how to say this, but all of us are the same way, my kids, your kids. When children are first born, they're frightening looking. Do you understand? Frightening looking. They're covered with urine, blood. Please don't show me that picture anymore, all right? Or I'm going to have to rip it in half right in front of you. And I know it's one that you probably cherish. Did you see the picture? Yeah, I did. Rip. And I'm never going to see it again. And I'll throw it into my barbecue. You'll be pissed. You'll want to beat me up. And then we won't be friends anymore. So just keep it at home. Clara Bingham and Blobby Dooley coming up. I call her Blobby. On the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I want to talk to you about this, Clara Bingham. Now, Ms. Bingham, you're a middle school teacher?
Yes, I teach at Joyful Union Congregation. That is in Bellflower, California.
Tell me what happened to your nephew, Robert Burton. He was stopped by South Pomona police in California on the night of November the 10th. He was on his way home. Pick it up.
He was on his way home, and the police pulled him over over on E Block in Pomona, and they told him to get out of the car. They asked to see his driver's license, and he told them it was in his back pocket, and that's when the first officer assaulted him. They hit him with...
The police officer assaulted him after asking him where's his driver's license.
That is correct, yes. They hit him with a police PTR-24, which is a police nightstick.
I'm familiar with it.
Then two other officers joined in. They continued to beat him and put him on a chokehold as well, and then slammed him to the ground. They hit him again with police nightsticks. He was not given immediate medical attention. And the point that I was making to you Yes, this is the way the African-American man is treated in today's society. There is no difference in the way the black man is treated today by police than, say, 10, 12 years ago when Rodney King was attacked by the Los Angeles Police Department.
All right, now this is coming, this information is coming right after we hear about this guy in Cincinnati.
This is the part that I find very interesting. They stopped my nephew because they suspected him of raping two elderly women. These are two women that our family has known for several years, and they go to the same church. And Robert has known them since he was a child. And to accuse him of raping these two women, one of whom is an amputee. She had lost one of her legs to diabetes. And he told the police, and they continued to beat him. Now, here is an innocent man. They beat him because he is a black man. And that's why these men are beaten, because they're black. You take any white man who raped two elderly women, they would read him his rights. They sit him in the car. They drive him down to the police station. He gets his phone call.
Well, now, you're saying a white man that might have raped two elderly women, your nephew was accused by the police of raping two...
Yes, and my nephew did not do this. He has told me he did not do this. I believe him. I have to tell you that even though if he did, and I don't think that he did at all, they have no right to treat him the way they did.
I understand what you're saying, but I have to ask you, and I don't want to be disrespectful, is there a possibility that your nephew did this crime?
No, Robert has known these women his entire life, and as I said, they have been in a choir together at our church. That's not the point. He was beaten brutally by these officers. I had the doctor's report.
Did he resist the officers? Sometimes they'll go into a higher mode if they're getting some resistance.
You have to understand that as a black man, you have to assume. Now, this is something that I want to educate all of your white listeners to. As a black man, you have to assume that the police may not be treating you fair, so that when they tell you to get out of the car, he really wasn't sure what they meant. He had had a couple of drinks, so he's going to be a little bit looser with his mouth. He's already belligerent. They should have known this, because they later on in reports said they smelled liquor on his breath. Why would you provoke the black man when you know he's had a couple of drinks? You know he is going to be combative. Why do you provoke him?
All right, Ms. Bingham, hold on for just a minute. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham claiming her nephew was beaten by police back in early November. As this information, as you know about what happened in Cincinnati, Cincinnati police officers charged with beating a man who eventually died in their custody. And these officers have been suspended. He was an African-American man. This young man, Robert Burton, his aunt is on the phone with us. Now, you're telling me that he was beaten. He got out of the car. He was asked to show his ID. He reached for his ID. Then he was assaulted by the officers. And you say that the officers should not have gone at him because he'd had a couple of drinks.
They had written down in their report
that they had smelled liquor on his breath.
That they had smelled liquor on his breath. So, I have said, we are saying you don't never want to go after a brother if he'd had something to drink, and he has had a couple of drinks. So I want to tell your listeners, and I want to educate your listeners, many of whom may think it's open season on young black men. Police brutality is wrong, and I don't care what they think he did. I don't care if, for instance, he had raped these elderly women, which I don't think he did.
He was drunk. You're saying...
He had liquor on his breath.
All right, so what you're telling me is the police should not approach a guy who smells like liquor because he's going to be argumentative.
The officer should have shown my nephew the same common courtesy they show a white man in the same scenario, and they did not do that. They saw a monkey getting out of a car.
And, well, I don't know.
No, Phil, they saw a monkey man getting out of a car. And they said, look at that, a monkey had something to drink. So why don't we have open batting practice on his head? Why don't we open up...
You don't know what those officers thought. I mean, if they're feeling there's some way...
How can you be threatened by a man who is looking for his license in his back pocket? And why would you be threatened by a man who might mouth off a little bit? call them different names and this.
Well, the police report here that I am, and I want to be clear, the officers believed this, your son, to be a man who had sexually assaulted two elderly women, one of whom was an amputee. He was ordered out of the car. He didn't get out, but instead he called the officers a bunch of faggots. Isn't that right?
That is correct, yes.
He'd also been drinking, so he had liquor on his breath. And when he was asked for his driver's license, you say he went to reach for it?
That's my understanding, yes.
And the police immediately started swinging on him.
That is correct. None of those things dealt police brutality. Now, I understand the police claim that he had a gun. And I know my nephew is a hothead. And he is sometimes stupid enough to take that gun with him. I have often said to him, don't take that gun. And I have always said to him...
I can tell you right now, ma'am, if your nephew had a gun...
I understand the officers would feel threatened, but they do not have any right to treat a black man like he's a monkey man. And they don't...
Wait a minute. It's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? If he has a gun...
My nephew carries that gun with him as a result of years of oppression at the hands of the white race. And the police...
Because I'm looking at this report. It says that the man that raped these two elderly women held the gun to the head of one of the women while he raped her and forced the other one to watch.
That does not mean that was my nephew.
All right.
And Mr. Henry, to be a black man in America is a curse. The pressure of the black man...
I just want to stay on subject here.
Yes.
I mean, he's got a gun in the car. He smells of liquor. He's called the cops a bunch of faggots, is what they said, and he's mouthing off, and they suspect that this man is an armed and dangerous individual who's committed a double rape.
That is correct, yes. But again, you have to understand, that is nothing compared to depriving that man of his rights under the Constitution of the United States of America in an arrest situation. And I can tell you, Phil, he could have raped 5, 10 women and forced all of them to watch while he did the deed to an underage girl. He still deserves respect as a human being and a black man. And Mr. Henry, it seems that when it comes to a black man, the police act first, then think second. And by then you have another young black man beaten, and this time it was my nephew Robert. Whether he's a rapist or not.
He pulled a gun on the police.
He had been drinking. They should have breathalyzed him.
So when he pulled the gun on the cops, they should have known?
If they had smelled the liquor, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We're getting news here, just talking to this lady, of another report of police violence. This in the instance of a young African-American named Robert Burton, who was stopped on the night of November the 10th. And was beaten, slammed into the ground, hit with police nightsticks, not given immediate medical attention, a chokehold put on him. Police suspected him of a double rape. He had pulled a gun and smelled of liquor and called them all a bunch of, quote, and I'm quoting again, and pardon my language, a bunch of faggots. 1-800-449-8686. I want to ask you guys a question. How much should a cop take or... even though this guy had a gun on him, should he be accorded full courtesy and respect? 1-800-449-8686, holding a gun on him and calling them faggots. I don't want to beat that into the ground, but ain't that asking for it? Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to ask you, Ms. Bingham, the police say they have an eyewitness to this crime that can identify your nephew, Robert, as being the one that raped these two elderly women, one of whom was an amputee, the other of whom he put a gun to her head while he forced the other one to watch. This sounds to me, these officers they probably thought they were approaching a dangerous guy.
You know, Phil, I want to explain to you, because you're right, and you'll never be able to understand what it's like to be a young man and black in America. We all had our adventures. We all had our time when we turned away from the face of God. Robert is a good boy. He is a first deacon in our church. He has fallen, and he has gotten up. And whatever sins he committed, he will face the Lord. I don't think a double rape, even if he did it, which I don't think he did, is worthy of police officers treating him the way he did. He deserves respect and dignity and a comfortable ride in the back of a police car to the police station where they will respectfully book him in. And
well, I don't know what you call respect, but if I'm a cop and I've just busted a guy who...
Now, there you go, thinking like a white man. I'm trying to get you to think like a black man, but you're thinking like a big white cop. Oh, if I'm a man, I just busted a guy. You're using all that television lingo. See, Robert's a young man. He's full of so much fun. He enjoys life, and it gets out of hand.
Ma'am, with all due respect, raping two old ladies while making one watch, you say that's getting out of hand? That's just a...
Again, you're a white man. When you wake up black some morning, you give me a call.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Kathy. Hello, Kathy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Yes. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, first of all, this angers me very, very much because she needs to leave black out of the issue. I'm white.
Well, now that's easy for you to say. Why don't you leave white out of the issue?
I have three grandchildren that are part black. And I don't appreciate it.
You know what? I got to put you on hold. Kathy, I got to put you on hold because your car phone is breaking up. Let me go over to Frank. Go ahead. Frank?
Yeah, hey.
Yes, sir.
I want to make a comment.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'm being a young black man as myself. First off, I think that lady is totally in the wrong. Granted, it's a struggle for a black man to come up, but all you got
to
do is do what you have to do and take care of your responsibilities. And first off, the guy was wrong for pointing a gun at the cops first off. He's lucky he only got beat up.
Well,
what if he would have accidentally pulled the trigger?
Excuse me,
one of those cops would have been dead and all of them would have been dead.
Can I ask you a question? Did you say you're black?
Yes, I am.
I don't understand.
How do you not understand?
What don't you understand?
I've been harassed for no reason.
You're talking like a white man.
What do you mean he's talking like a white man? What,
because
he's...
It's because I'm educated and I'm not no ignorant person.
Well, that's what it is. I'm a little confused. All he did, he had a couple drinks.
All I did was tell you the truth. That's all to it. If it was a white man, the cops would have did the same thing. It's not nothing about white or black here.
Look, if
the guy pulled a gun on the cops, that's all to it.
If they had given him a...
Look, you got to understand, Ms. Bingham, that...
Hold on, Phil, and I say this with the greatest of respect. You're a white man. I'm talking to a brother right now, and I'd like to speak black on black to this young brother. I'm saying the police should have given my nephew a roadside sobriety test before they pulled out the sticks.
Well, what, if he tested sober, they wouldn't have pulled out the sticks?
Again.
If he's got the gun already pulled out on him, the cops aren't going to give him a chance to test him if he's drunk or not. He's got a gun pointed at him.
Frank, you sound like you have been brainwashed by a white society.
Brainwashed? That's common sense.
The white man.
Duh.
Has taken you in and what's
no,
common sense?
No,
what's
common sense?
Let me ask you a question, Frank. What is common sense about laying there letting a white man beat the hell out of you?
Are you hearing what this man...
Excuse me, but I'm talking to a brother. I'm not talking to a white man.
I've had it happen to me for no reason.
All right.
But he had a perfectly reason. He had a gun pulled out on the cop.
But
what
did he
expect him to do? Say, let you go about your way?
Well,
come on now.
If you're a black man and you're pulled over by the police, don't you think it's common sense to have a gun on you?
Oh, my God. You're going to...
No.
Are you kidding me? You said you got pulled over and harassed.
Exactly.
I would simply pull a gun out and ask them to show me their identification.
No, I'm not going to have no gun on me or nothing. Come on now.
But then how are you going to get...
That's just giving them just cause.
Then, Frank, how are you going to get them...
That's just giving them just cause. That's...
How are you going to get them... That's
stereotype what it is now.
How are you going to get them to show you their ID?
Hello, they got the cop car behind you, they got the window and everything.
True.
Come on now.
That's true.
If you ain't doing nothing wrong, if you're not doing nothing wrong, you have nothing to worry about.
What do you mean their ID? They got a black and white.
I was thinking if it was undercover.
Well, all right. Were these guys undercover?
No.
They were in black and whites?
Yes.
Come on You can't tell me?
Frank, I think that what you need more than anything else is to go and get your brain re-dirtied up with black thoughts, because it's been cleansed clean with a white man's, you know. And my nephew didn't know what the police wanted him to do. Pull out his license, pull out a gun. He was confused. I said he'd had a few drinks.
So now you're telling me, now you're telling
me. That's no excuse.
Huh?
That's no excuse.
Yeah, now you're telling me the guy, because the guy was drunk, he pulled
an excuse. Stand up for what you did. Plain and simple.
And what about that man in Cincinnati? He can't stand up. He's in a box. A big box. Today.
All right, Frank, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This lady's nephew was beaten by the police because they suspected him of a crime. And you just think that there's every time a black man's pulled over in America, he's going to be beaten. Now, I got to tell you, so we can reiterate for the audience, your nephew had a gun on him. He was suspected of committing a double rape on two elderly women. He'd also been drinking. He got out of the car wielding the gun, calling the police faggots.
No, he had got out his driver. He thought he had pulled out his driver's license. And he had...
Now, how do you mistake your driver's license for a gun?
The man had been drinking. I do not, and I am not saying, Phil, that that he was not in the wrong. What I am saying is they automatically assume the worst because it's a black man.
All right, here is Robert. Robert, go ahead.
It wouldn't matter. It's not white, black, blue. You step out of a car and pull a gun on a cop, be glad you're still breathing to talk about it.
But wait, I said he thought he had pulled out his driver's license.
There's no comparison between the feel of a driver's license and a gun.
Absolutely.
Unless you have been drinking. And this was what my nephew, he had been drinking heavily.
Very heavy. If he can't tell the difference between a card that his driver's license is and a gun.
I do not deny that. He was drinking heavily, yes.
But you want us to believe that your nephew pulled a gun out, thinking he'd pulled out his driver's license.
That is what he told me, and that's what he told the police as he was going down. They were beating on him, and as he was falling backward, he said, "I thought it was my driver's license," and they still beat on him.
He wished he had pulled out a driver's license.
You got that right. But he didn't.
All right. Robert.
That's right. She's trying to turn it all into, I'm white, and I can understand, she doesn't want to talk to white people, but...
I don't mind talking to white people as long as they're intelligent. That's all.
Look, Robert, I tell you what. Hold on the line, pal. We'll get right back to you. And you too, Ms. Bingham. 1-800-449-8686. This lady's nephew was beaten by police. They suspected him of a double rape. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Ms. Bingham, I want to ask you a question. Your nephew's pulled over by the police, suspected of a double rape. He has a gun in the car. The police beat him. Are you telling me, and you told my producer off the air, you were one of the women that he raped?
That is correct, and I made that very clear at the outset.
I didn't know that.
Well, I made that very clear at the outset with your producer.
So you're personally involved in this thing. You and another woman raped by your nephew who goes out and gets drunk, pulls a gun on cops, calls them faggots, and gets beat up, and now you're claiming police brutality.
Mr. Henry, I can get over a sexual assault. Robert will never get over it.
You're talking about your own nephew who raped you.
I will get over that. But Robert will... He's a black man beaten by police. He'll never get over that. There is nothing worse than a police officer beating on you like that.
Not even being raped by your own nephew.
I don't see the comparison. I really don't.
1-800-449-8686. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, come on.
I am speaking
on I'm a black... Well, I'm a black...
Of an African-American...
I am an African-American male. I am. And I can't see the comparison, but I have experienced my fair share of problems on the road. I mean, I can't see this situation
absolutely
being a brutality case, but at the same time,
what's the difference?
I mean, I don't. Pulling out a gun and a driver's license coming from a black man. I know I've been drunk, you know, and I can't say I've been caught drunk driving, but I, being as drunk as I ever been, I think I would know the difference between a gun and a driver's license.
He's, my nephew told me that he was very upset because he'd raped his own aunt, which I can understand. And I said, all right. And so
the upset that he felt at raping you forced him into thinking that a gun was a driver's license?
He reached in his pocket. The police were hostile from the very outset.
Well, they thought they were dealing with a double rapist, which apparently they were.
My God.
And now, are you? You said you're black, right, Terry?
I am.
All right, let's not forget that, okay?
Okay, I can't forget that.
All right.
Every time I look in the mirror, I see it.
All right, I hear that, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the white host here is, you know, don't gang up on me with a white man, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm just being clear and honest. I'm being clear and honest from my point of view as a black man.
My son, my nephew carries what the kids call a gangster wallet. It's very thick, and you sometimes think that's the butt of a gun or whatever. But So
the wallet was thick enough whereby he didn't discern between that or the butt of a gun?
That is correct, yes.
As a black man, I just can't see why I agree with the situation. I don't condone brutality. I've been harassed by police.
Yes.
Okay, but I think I would know the difference between a gun and a driver's license given that situation.
Even if
I had been drinking.
Really hammered. I mean, we're talking about.
I haven't been beat.
No, I mean, when you've been drunk, your big, tall glasses of vodka. Because that's what he did after he raped me. He just
She should not have been driving.
Yeah, what was he doing driving? The guy should have been. The police should have been called.
I did call the police, and they beat the hell out of him.
Well, good.
He had at least 340 ounces of OE, and then he had.
Oh, come on, will you?
He should not have been drinking. He should not have been driving. He should not have raped you. You shouldn't. Him on the phone because that was a crime right there that's way far than him getting his butt kicked by police.
Terry, do me a favor, will you? Stay black.
I am black.
You're black. You're starting to blend. You're bleaching.
I'm black, and I'm from the South.
You know, I got to tell you.
I've been talking to you, brother.
Yeah, you have been bleaching out a little bit on me.
What do you mean he's bleaching out?
Because the man sees the difference between a police brutality situation and cops taking their sticks to a guy who pulled a gun on him? What if they pulled their gun on Robert?
Then they would have been guilty of murder.
But he can pull a gun out because he wears a thick gangster wallet and he thinks that's the freaking wallet he's pulling out.
After Robert got off of me and went on to rape my sister, I said, Robert, this is wrong. And that's when everything went wrong.
Really, you guys should have beat his butt. You know, I'm bleaching out. So.
Are you saying I'm starting to bleach out?
Oh, no, I'm bleaching out. Guys should have kicked his butt.
Well, I'm going to kick a black man's ass? No, not me.
Okay.
I leave that to the police, Terry.
Well,
my sister's an amputee. And
that's the other thing. Your sister's missing a leg, and this guy raped you, then he raped her, then he's running out, has a couple of 40 ounces of Old English, then he gets in the car, then he calls the cops faggots, then he pulls a gun thinking it's a wallet.
And to know me is to know that I'm not bleaching out, and
I own
a business where I'm constantly in competition with the white man.
Let me ask you a question, Jerry. I bet you've got a white girlfriend.
I bet you I don't.
You sound like a good-looking black man, and you know
you
love the black man.
All right, okay.
And you know what? I have white friends. I have white female friends, and
what you think of that Michael Jackson? What you think of that Michael Jackson situation? All right.
What do I think of it?
Is that a black man who hates being a black man, or what?
I think a parent would be out of their mind to let their child stay with Michael Jackson.
I bet you eat at McDonald's over KFC, don't you?
Excuse me?
You eat at McDonald's over KFC, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I knew you did. See, that's how.
Oh, what does that mean? He's not black enough? All right, look at Terry. Thank you very much, sir. You're a very patient man. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go over here to Derek. Derek, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. First of all, I got this point to make because you keep talking about questioning people blackness. I'm a black man, and I'm telling you right now, to me, you're racial, and I think you need to check yourself. And far as your nephew goes,
what you talking about?
You need to check yourself, lady, because you always want to question somebody's blackness. Where's your sameness? How you gonna stick up for this man to rape you and your sister? You know what I'm saying? And then you think he should be treated right? And he done raped you and your sister? Well, hey, something wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Something is wrong with you, lady. You need to get on your knees and pray to God and ask you to help you.
Going to be a party to a young black man.
Mind your right mind. No, because you're sitting up here questioning people's blackness. I want to question your sameness.
Can I ask you something?
Because I'm telling you just like this. Those police should have whooped him, but I'm telling you, hey, in any situation, he's a suspect in a rape. Hey, they said he did it by gunpoint and everything. And you tell me those police shouldn't have came the way they came?
Look, it wasn't so. Since my sister lost her leg at the thigh, she hasn't had no man. Now, you have to understand.
Wait a minute. What is that?
Now, I'm talking to a brother. How come you always button in when a black man wants to talk to me?
No, but I'm telling you, why you want to question people's blackness?
Now, Derek, I want to ask you a question.
What?
Are you staying black or are you bleaching out on me? What are you doing?
I've been black since I've been born black. I'm straight out of Texas. Believe me, I go through all kinds of racialism every day. But let me tell you something. It's good and it's bad, people. Because I'm going to tell you what. Not only the white people pull me down, my own people pull me down. I ain't got nothing against my own people, but hey, they the one putting you down too. Why we can't come together then?
Now, how come we can't come together? Hey, I'm sticking up for a young black man.
You want to attack me because I'm telling you something, and you want to attack my blackness. Where your blackness at?
My blackness? Now, you listening to me? My nephew got beat up by the police out there, and they loved it, just because he called him a faggot. So what?
No, I'm telling you just like this, lady. How you gonna have sympathy on this man? He done raped you and your sister.
Derek, I want to ask
where your mind at? Are you kind of awful, you kind of crazy? I understand
the anger of the black man.
I don't think it's nothing about being black or white. I think it's something wrong with you for real.
You calling me nuts? So you think I'm crazy? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, you are crazy. How you gonna sit there and then you gonna say, and you the one calling the police?
Let me ask you something. What do you like football or NASCAR? What you like, football or NASCAR? Which sport you like? Which sport you like, football or NASCAR? You know what I
like. Football. What you talking about?
Okay, because I thought you'd say NASCAR. You sound like you're getting all white on me.
No, I ain't white.
Will you knock it off with that?
What you talking about ain't black or white. He got his ass whooped, but I tell you what. You can't go to my house and I'll whoop his ass too. But you know what he done did? And I'm black. I put this black foot in his ass. How about that?
Well, I tell you what, you're going to look mighty funny walking down the street with my shoe up your ass.
It's all about being human, huh? And I tell you what, instead of my way, I whoop his ass with my black foot.
So you're going to put a black man's foot up a black man's ass? I think that's a sad thing.
Already, because you know why? Hey, and if a white man did, I would do the same thing.
Let me ask you a question. Eminem or Puff Daddy? Eminem or Puff Daddy?
Rape ain't right. And then you want them to say, you want them to treat him right. I'll get in the car. We're going to take you down here and book you.
Let me ask you a question. Eminem or Puff Daddy?
Who?
I say Eminem or Puff Daddy. Which one?
Man, one of them, baby. I'm from the Dirty South. Hey, you better ask somebody about something about the Dirty South.
Check it out. Look, Robert, it's a young man full of potential. No,
hey, I don't like Puff Daddy. I don't like Eminem. I'm from the Dirty South.
Eminem. I think Eminem, that cracker has stolen everything he does from a black man.
What about the Mike Jones or something like that? You better throw something like that up in there because I don't like now one of them.
Yeah, y'all into Vanilla Ice and all that.
I don't get down with none of that.
Look, I bet you take Britney over Beyonce, too.
All right, look, get out of here, you guys. Look at Derek, you made some great points, sir, and I appreciate it very much. And
that man called me crazy. You know that man called me crazy.
We need to gather together and pray for this lady because she needs some help.
My ex-husband said I'm crazy.
Well, maybe your ex-husband was right. Maybe this gentleman, Derek, here is right. It ain't black, it ain't white. You're nuts.
So you calling me crackish, too?
I didn't call you Cracker.
No, Cracker.
Crackers? Oh, you mean cracked?
Yeah.
You say
you're more than crackers, lady. You need help.
So you think
you need serious help?
You think I belong in the Walnut Academy? Is that it?
No, I think you need to get your mind right and say the question people blackness question your sameness.
You know something?
Because there ain't no way in this world that man should be walking around after raping you and your sister.
Is that
and
right?
You defended him. You must have liked it. I think you liked it.
You know something? I tell you what right now.
You know what? I think you actually liked
it. You can't. Yeah, I wasn't bad. But I can.
All right, get out of here. What a sick freak she is.
I think she liked it.
She just said she did.
That's the same.
Yeah,
see,
you know, I bet
she just on the show.
She's a mental case, is what she is, and we have to understand that.
I bet you got frozen waffles in your freezer, Derek, don't you? Frozen waffles. You ain't no black man.
All right, get her out of here.
Yeah, she needs to go.
All right, Derek, thank you, sir.
All right, well, thank you.
Appreciate it. I bet you got frozen waffles in your freezer. Beyonce or Britney? 1-800-449-8686. So a nephew raped her and her sister, and her sister's an amputee. He pulled a gun on the cops, and he was breathing liquor all over him, but he didn't deserve to get his ass beat by those brutal cops. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back.
But hold on for a minute. Ms. Bingham, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Talking about a guy having frozen waffles.
Look, I have my sister on the phone, Ms. Mavis Leonard. She was raped by my nephew. And she agrees with me that police should never have been. Mavis, can I get her on the phone?
This is your sister, the one who was missing a leg, who was also raped? Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on for a minute. You know, don't be so impatient. You white people, if it isn't going your way, you always want to just, all right, I got to hang up now. I got to get going. Or like y'all like to say,
I got to get going.
You know, you're all so...
Hello, dear. Who is this?
Yeah, my name is Mavis Leonard.
Mavis, were you raped by your nephew?
Well, was you raped by Robert? Did Robert rape you? I knew you were doing something. I didn't know what it was. Was that what he was doing? I didn't know. I was watching Wheel of Fortune. I didn't notice.
She didn't notice. She's watching Wheel of Fortune.
Well, hold on. You know he raped you, didn't he? I don't know either. He's never too good in anything. And then I watched A&E, and I had a Henry Weinhardt beer, and I fell asleep. So he was doing something. Well, he raped her. I know he did. Because I watched.
You watched.
And I got Polaroids.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Is this the Steve Harvey Show?
All right, look it.
KB rocks the London house party.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Mavis Leonard, he was doing something, but I was having a Henry Weinhardt, so I forget. All right, coming up next hour, Bobby Dooley. Bobby's going to be on with us to talk about the after Thanksgiving sale that she was attending at a Wilkinson's department store here in the San Fernando Valley. A woman died being trampled by... are people getting out of hand with these post-Thanksgiving Day sales? Are the deals that good that people are dying? People are getting, or at least they're getting hurt very seriously in a race for the sales items. I got a little story I want to tell you. Got a couple of minutes, and I wanted to get to this, oh God, 3 weeks ago I got to get to this now, because this is going to kill you. It killed me. Now listen to this. My wife canceled the LA Times back in the middle of the Schwarzenegger campaign. I think I remember telling you guys she canceled it because she didn't like how the LA Times was, you know, had turned into a piece of crap newspaper, which I told her that years ago, but she didn't believe me. She cancels the L.A. Times, and she immediately gets on the phone to the L.A. Daily News. Now, maybe you've heard of this newspaper. It's located in the Valley, and they've got a reasonable daily subscription rate. They also have pretty decent coverage of high school football. It's their kids play. We wanted to, you know, follow it. LA Daily News, I got an announcement to make to you. Your newspaper apparently is so utterly terrible that you can't even get it together to figure out how to deliver one to our house because it's been weeks. Weeks. I got on the phone with the LA Daily News three times to say we need delivery service. Can you do this? And these clowns couldn't find it with both hands. They don't know whether it's day, night, whether it's a chipmunk or a cat. They don't know. Now, the Thousand Oaks Daily Star could get to my house. The Ventura County Free Press Star, whatever the hell they call it, gets to my house. The Santa Barbara Bugle can get to my house. But the LA Daily News don't know how to deliver a newspaper. So guess what? Today, my wife said, go out front, get the paper. I said, oh, the Daily News come here? She goes, no. I couldn't get any service from them. I went back to the Times. I'm laughing. I went outside. I got the LA Times. I laughed my ass off until my daughter came up and said, can I see the movie page? Because I want to see whether or not the Golden Globe went to Reese Witherspoon again. Well, I said, what are you? You're 10. Get out of here. Can you dig that? The LA Daily News. I don't know who we're... And, you know, they're nice people, I guess. They did a nice piece on our show. You know, whatever. But, I mean, you cats are pathetic, man. You're never going to be big time until you can actually deliver a newspaper. Rule number one, learn how to get the paper to the freaking customer, you jackballs. You had an opportunity to take some business away from the Times. My old lady, she's back on the Times. She's going to suffer through that crap because you clowns don't know how to read a Thomas Brothers. Anyway, Bobby's next. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And you are shocked, right?
Yes.
Bobby, can I introduce you to our audience? This is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates portion of Southern California, the Homeowners Association president out there, aren't you?
Yes, Steve and I are both members of our Homeowners Association board.
You were at an after-Thanksgiving Day sale at Wilkinson's department store in Sherman Oaks, correct?
Yes, I was.
Can you tell me what happened? First of all, why were you out there? There was a sale?
Yes. There was a sale on Ralph Lauren linens. They were some flat sheets and fitted sheets and skirts. Very high quality. And I got there early. I was talking with some of the women at the door waiting for the store to open. And I want to tell you, I'm very, very shocked by what has happened. We feel as if we've been... My family and I feel as if we've been violated, as if we've been raped or assaulted by what has happened.
Well, tell us what's happened. I know that you've had a very difficult time.
I have not been in good health as the result of this.
Well, tell me what happened. So you're at this after Thanksgiving sale.
We're at Wilkinson's, and I'm talking to some of the women. And I have to tell you that when it comes to my family, I'm very aggressive. What is it? What do you say, honey? My husband, Steve, said the saying in my family is you don't get between a dog and his meat. And what that means is, I know that what I'm going for, I'm pretty focused, and I know that when they say sale, they may only have a few items left. So I was talking to the women. I wanted to get the linen set, and I would appreciate it if they would stay out of my way. I told the women there. I don't know what they were going for. But I'm very, very committed to my family. I'm very, very...
Yeah, I understand. And so does that mean you don't want to hurt anybody?
I don't want to hurt anyone, but when I know that they're selling Ralph Lauren fitted sheets, and it's on sale, and it's after Thanksgiving, so I told the women, I said, you know, just let me through first, and there was an elderly woman there.
This is Mrs. Sanchez, right?
Yes. And
now, did you say to this lady that you wanted her out of your way, or...
Well, no. She was old, so I thought maybe she needed a hearing aid. So I told her to move out of my way, and I used my hand to sort of push her aside because I could see the store manager was coming over to open the door.
So the store is about ready to open, and you've moved up to the front, and you've told the other women, don't get in your way, because you're going over to the sheets.
That's correct. You hear the stories about these fights that break out and this kind of thing. So I thought I would be a good neighbor, and I thought I would be a good person, because I feel I've always been a good person my whole life. And I can't believe that this has happened to my family. And
all right, so you pushed the lady, and she was how old?
I don't know. She was 60, 65. So I said, get out of my way, and she stood her ground. And that's really when I was left with no option.
Now tell me carefully what happened next.
The doors open, and this elderly woman in front of me, and I was saying to myself, boy, she is really asking for it. So I grabbed her by her right shoulder. I wanted to push her behind me so I could get ahead of her and the other women, who are all of different ages. This woman fell backward. I don't know if she was faking it. I don't know what she was doing. But I didn't find out about this until the next day when Steve took the call from the store.
I got the call. The store called me.
And I was in shock. They inferred.
Now, I know that you're a little emotional. The store inferred that you caused an injury to the woman, right?
Yes.
Who you had tried to get out of your way.
Yes. And my husband told me that there might be civil litigation. I am having trouble sleeping. I don't know what I did other than do the best for my family and keep a lovely home.
Well, apparently when you grabbed this woman to move her behind you, she fell and suffered a concussion. She fell backward on her head.
But the question that I asked the store, and I ever, is at what point does she take responsibility? I made it clear to her and to every other woman standing there what I needed to do.
We're going to the ACLU. ACLU.
And I don't have any choice but to take this to the ACLU because I'm a mother doing the best for her family, and I was ignored when I told that old woman to move. And I don't know what I did wrong.
All right, I want to open up our phones. I want to talk a little bit more with you about this. Ms. Bobby Dooley and her husband, Steve Dooley, on the line. They were at a, she was at an after-Thanksgiving sale at a department store. You made an announcement to the women that were standing there at the door before the store opened to get out of your way. You were going to the linen section to get the Ralph Lauren sheets.
That is correct. And so I can't be responsible for this old woman. I told her to move, and she refused to listen to me.
All right, but in any event, you told the other ladies, watch out. This lady is still standing in front of you. So when the door opened, you moved her behind you, and she fell backward, and you feel as if you've been raped and assaulted.
I feel my entire family has been violated in the most brutal jail terms.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. All over America, they have after Thanksgiving Day sales, and some of them do turn a little rough, women and men alike, running into the store to get this, to get that. I remember when they had the cabbage patch.
Well, I think a lot of those people look stupid. I really do. But I felt that, you know, I'm a little different. I don't go for cabbage patch dolls. I'm not going for half off on a DVD player. You're not going to find me racing into a Walmart, okay? I'm not going to be racing into a Kmart to get half off on a Ghetto Blaster. I'm on my way in to Wilkinson's department store, one of the most high-end department stores in America, to get Ralph Lauren 250 thread count sheets. Now, I can tell you, Mr. Hendry, I keep a gorgeous home. I dare any woman to challenge me on the level of the beautiful home that I keep. We have California king-size beds, and the Ralph Lauren sheets came in the California king-size. I told the other women standing there at the door, I just want to...
Tell me how you put it, so I can know...
So really what I said was just simply this.
Did you introduce yourself?
I did. I said, hi, my name is Bobby. I'm a neighbor, I'm sure, of all of yours. I want you to know that I'm going to the linen section. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to be the first one there. And you know, that's... And I just want you all to stay out of my way. And I put it, I think, as nicely as I could.
You didn't put it that way, did you?
I'm sorry?
Well, what way did you say, I want you all to stay out of my way?
No, I'm sure I was nice about it. I made it very clear to them that I will be the first one at the Ralph Lauren sheets. And get out of my, you know, just get away from me. And this old lady, and that's why I really think she had a hearing problem, because she stood in front of me, and that's when I remember thinking to myself, man, is she asking for it. And
what did you mean when you thought to yourself, man, is she asking for it?
Well, I said, get out of my way. And she's still there? I mean, what? That's like just begging for it.
Begging for what?
Well, to me, it sounds like she wanted to be hurt.
So you had every intention of hurting her if she didn't get out of your way?
No, I did not. I moved her behind me.
When you say you put your hand on her right shoulder, did you pull her? Did you push her?
I just grabbed her right shoulder, and I yanked her a little bit behind me so she wouldn't get in front of me. Believe me, Phil, had this woman stayed in front of me, and I'm on my way to the linen section. You know, I'm afraid to think of what might have happened to her. I think if she's Christian, she should thank Jesus Christ today that I moved her behind me.
All right, and you don't know what you did wrong?
No, sir, I don't. And you know, you...
When you sound like she did...
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm saying somewhere in the story you're telling me, Ms. Dooley, there's something going on here that's not... It's not everybody else. You know, there's a little bit of responsibility you have to take here.
I don't know what I did. I did everything that I could.
I'm not trying to make you cry, you know?
I did everything that I could to warn those women, get away from me. I'm going to the linen section.
All right. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, can I say something?
Go ahead.
It really amazes me how horrible people are all across this country. They get away with all kinds of crime. But me, I'm a woman dedicated to my family. I love my family. I want nothing more than to have a beautiful home for my family, and I'm persecuted.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. This woman, on her way to a sale, ran over an elderly woman who suffered a concussion, but she doesn't know what she did wrong. She told the old lady to get away from her, get out in front of her, so she was on her way to the linen section, and anybody that got in front of her, it doesn't sound to you like anybody gets in front of me is going to get hurt. That's what it sounds like to me. She doesn't know what she did wrong. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, God's favorite radio show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ms. Dooley, don't you think that other women keep beautiful homes and other women want to appoint their home beautifully so they'd be interested in an after Thanksgiving Day sale?
You know, my husband mentioned that to me, and I guess, of course they do, but I have, first of all, I'm a graduate of the University of Southern California. I have a degree. I didn't get my degree, but I did study home decorating and this kind of thing. I've lived my entire life in California, so I know about home furnishing and decoration with an eye and accent toward Mediterranean. So when you say, don't I know that other women care about their homes, yeah, I guess, but all I'm telling you is I told them, get out of my way. Because women do tend to push during these Thanksgiving Day sales. The old lady didn't listen, and the old lady took a fall. 2 days later, they're accusing me of hurting her. That's the part. I feel so violated. I've never, ever been molested or fondled, but the entire experience feels as if I have been fondled in some way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association. Let me go to Dana. Dana, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I was on my way home from work, and I cannot believe this lady does not understand what she's done wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She says that us women push. She's the one who's pushing.
No, I told them to get out of my way.
Okay, but by the fact that you're behind them, so therefore you got there later than they did, correct?
Technically, you're right. But,
yes. Okay,
but,
so what gives you the right to tell everyone to get out of your way? So what they wanted for themselves was not important, only what you wanted.
No, I wouldn't say that. What I'm saying is I went to the University of Southern California. I studied home
that is irrelevant.
Interior
that's,
decoration.
That's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with what you did. Well, where you went to school is irrelevant.
Ms. Dooley, are you saying that you were entitled to go in because you have better taste?
I think in a lot of ways, yeah. I really take a lot of care with my home. I don't know what you do, Dana, but I care about my home, and I'm sure you care about yours.
No, if the lady behind you, if I had been in line behind you, and I cared about going home, and I wanted those same sheets, and I told you, get out of my way, I'm going to be the first one in line, and I pulled on you, and you fell down, wouldn't you feel really like it was my fault?
You want to know something?
That I don't have the right to tell you to get out of my way?
But you know something, Dana? I wouldn't let that happen. I would...
Right. So why should that lady have let you? It happened to her.
She let it happen to her.
I told
her. I said, "Get out of the way."
Okay, that's
and
disrespectful.
If you said to me, "Get out of my way," I'd say why, and you'd probably say, "Well, because I want to get the sheets." And I'd say, "Well, guess what? You know,
you don't get between a dog and its meat.
You know, you don't get between a dog and its meat."
Well, are you challenging this woman to a fist fight or something?
No,
basically.
Well,
she did.
No. I'm saying...
You're saying those are your sheets. You're going to go get the Ralph Lauren 250 thread count sheets, and any old lady or anybody else that gets in your way goes down for the count.
Exactly. So she's admitting on national TV, basically, that she assaulted the lady because she didn't get out of her way.
Well, first of all, I'm on national radio.
Radio. Well, I just got off 12 hours of work,
saying?
So I'm a little...
Yeah, but you see, that kind of shows me where you're coming from.
Hello. But it's
you don't really know.
No, I realize it's on radio. I made an error.
Well, but if you make an error that way, what about any other way?
Well, lady,
you're not admitting that you make any. Apparently.
I don't know what I did wrong.
You pulled down a woman who was older than you. She got a concussion. She fell down.
I told her to get out of my way.
And so if I had done that to you, would you not feel violated had I done that to you? Would you have felt violated?
Do you know the man in New York? The police put a nightstick in his butt.
And that's wrong.
I feel like that. I feel as if that happened to me.
I think the person that you knocked down on the ground should feel like that.
Oh, my God.
Well, what do you say to my wife?
What am I saying to your wife?
Did you say my wife sodomized the lady?
Oh, my God. I said to her, no.
Because she didn't get sheets. She felt like she was raped, but the lady has a concussion, so that's okay?
I said to her, I'm going for the
250 thread count sheets, yes. And you pulled the woman down.
Well, those other women hadn't been waiting for 6 months. Look, sometimes there are only two or three left, and I've been waiting for those sheets to go on sale for 6 months.
All right, look at Dana, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. I'll go over here to Nancy. We're talking to Bobby Dooley about an after Thanksgiving Day sale that went wrong. Nancy, go ahead.
Ma'am, I have one comment for you. Mm-hmm. You are the most narcissistic snob I have ever heard. How can you think that your needs or wants are any more important than the Gradens that were standing in line in front of you?
First of all, the lady that was standing in front of me was wearing a banana yellow pantsuit.
That does not matter what she was wearing,
what
her education is, or anything else. We are all equal in God's eyes, and maybe she wanted the Ralph Lauren sheet.
She's talking about God now.
Oh,
look.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, look.
You are no more important, and your wants and needs are no more important to you. Yes, getting those Ralph Lauren shoes were very important to you. How do you know that the ladies in front of you did not want those same Ralph Lauren shoes?
Well,
they were just as important to them. They had every much as right to buy them as you did.
That's what I was attempting to explain to you. Because she's wearing a banana yellow pants.
That doesn't matter.
She couldn't possibly have the good taste to buy Ralph Lauren.
You don't know that. And it doesn't matter what her taste is.
Oh, come on. It doesn't
matter what her taste is. Irregardless what your education
you know what I'm
is.
But you know what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. Listen to me, though. But you had legally no right to put your hands on another person, first off.
Even after I said get out of my way.
As soon as you put your hand on another person, that is considered assault.
Can I ask Nancy, are you putting your hand over your phone because you're muffling?
Oh, I'm on a cell phone.
All right.
I want to respond. The woman was wearing a banana yellow pantsuit with vinyl boots. There's no
that
way.
That doesn't matter.
There's no
that
way.
That doesn't matter.
Can I finish?
It does not matter
May
what she wears, what her education is, what color she is, what color, what religion she is, anything.
Yes, it does.
You were
because
wrong.
It proves you
were wrong
bad
to push a lady out of your
yeah,
way and
that's
knock her down for the Ralph Lauren sheets.
Exactly, because what you're trying to say is the woman couldn't possibly have been going for those sheets.
That is correct.
But it still doesn't give you the right. If she wasn't going for the sheets, then you didn't need to push her out of the way, right?
No, it doesn't mean that she didn't. Phil.
What gives you the right to tell somebody to get out of your way? She had every right to be in that store, in front, in line, in front
of
you.
First of all, can I finish?
As much as anything else.
All right, I'll tell you what. If she had touched those sheets before I did, I wouldn't have been able to buy them.
Who cares about the sheets? Forget about the sheets, lady.
Why?
You take me talking about
I don't want her hands. I don't want her hands over the sheets. I'm sorry. I don't want her hands over my sheets.
They weren't your sheets until you paid for
right,
them.
Right, exactly.
Ma'am.
All right, Nancy.
My husband had just finished painting our guest room in Mediterranean peach. The sheets are in peach. Hello?
It doesn't
and
matter,
am I getting
the
through?
Sheets are not worth another person's life, another person's harm coming to them.
Well,
if that's your. You keep talking about coming between.
A dog and meat.
Honey, meat is not. If you were out there trying to find a piece of meat and a piece of food.
I don't
want to
get come between Bobby and my meat.
You know something, that is uncalled. Excuse me, Kristen. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In some of the counterclaim stuff, Ms. Dooley, you claim that the lady that you knocked down or that you pulled down...
Phil, I'm not admitting to having done...
No, all right. The lady that fell down, that you're being accused of having knocked down, in some of the counterclaim material, you said she was ungrateful to you?
That is correct.
Can you tell me what that means?
Well, when I was leaving...
In other words, you said that the lady showed ingratitude, the woman who was accused... See, you're walking into the store. You don't want any woman in front of you because you want to go to the linen section for this post, this after Thanksgiving sale. You pull this lady down, or you're accused of it.
Yes.
And you say she was ungrateful.
After I bought the sheets, what I'm saying is, on my way out of the store, I went up to the elderly woman that they claim, let me underline the word claim, I knocked down, and they were working on her. I gave her a $20 bill, I pressed it into her hand, and I said, good luck, and she gave me a look that I didn't like, that I didn't think was right. So I think it was ungrateful.
Wait a minute, you gave her a $20 bill for what?
Just to show her, you know, to go and, if she wanted to buy her something nice, buy herself something nice, I don't know.
And you told her good luck?
Yes, and she looked at me, like, quizzically, like... I can't describe the look, but it was one that put me off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Betty. Betty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't understand why in the world you feel like you don't understand what you've done to this woman. You're supposed to be an educated woman.
Yes, I am.
But you don't act like an educated woman. Now, you know what you done wrong. You gave her that $20 bill because you know you had violated her. Her money, she had just as much right to anything in that store as you did.
No, the reason
her spending in that store was just as good as yours.
Of course.
You're not above anybody else. Anybody in line in that store that day had the right to those items in that store.
She didn't have any right to go for those Ralph Lauren.
She had every right as much as you did. You didn't have the right to do to her
that
what you done.
I wanted the California King sheets, and she
it doesn't
that.
Make any difference what they are. It could have been a bag of peanut butter cookies. She had just as much right as you did.
Darling, I
nothing
would never.
Nothing you can say. You have violated this woman.
Nothing
you can say. Nothing you can say on this radio show that would make you right.
Well, you're not
going to
overtalk me. You're not going to overtalk me.
You are wrong. You done wrong, and you gave her that money because you knew you did her wrong.
No, the reason why I gave her the money, the reason
you did
why
wrong
I gave her
because
the
you're trying to pay her off
is because
so she won't feel as badly as you know that
I
you have done her.
No, I did it as a touche to say here.
No, it didn't. You
yeah,
felt like you were above any of these people
you.
Here.
Well, you think you're better than me?
You were just one more human being that had a little bit more cash, wanted what you wanted, and you felt like everybody else was beneath you because you wanted to be the one that got exactly what you wanted.
Listen,
and you
Whoopi,
hurt that human being
listen,
by trying to get to what you want.
Listen, Whoopi, you can't tell
what's with the Whoopi crap? What's that
what
mean?
You say you know you did it wrong.
If you didn't move,
you did it
feel
wrong. You did that woman wrong, and you better regret. What they need to do is press charges on you completely.
Let me tell you something, Betty. If you were in front of me, I would have done the same thing, all right?
No, if I had been in front of you, the concussion would have been the other way around. And if it had been any
me?
Of my people, you would still have a problem. You don't do elderly people like that.
British.
You don't do older people like that.
You don't
do young people like
me.
That. You do no one like that. And if your husband is telling you that you're right and condoning you and them, then both of you all are two ignorant, sick people.
You don't get between a dog and its meat, though.
Yeah, that's right. And let me tell you this. If you don't get between the dog and the meat, well, then you better know which dog and meat is yours. Because if I had been in that line that day, and I didn't even know this woman, you wouldn't have got away with that. Your wife would have been the very one that was the meat being eaten by the dog.
Well,
and that's all I have to say. You all did this woman
you know
wrong. An elderly woman, as you say, an old woman.
I gave her a 20.
An old woman. One
I
day you're going to have to be old. And believe me, sister,
that.
What goes around comes around.
Well, that's the
and
truth.
You're going to get it, too.
You know, Mary Betty, I told her to
to
give her 20.
To be an educated woman that's supposed to have an immaculate, beautiful home?
Yes.
So what? You don't know what this woman has herself.
I gave her 20.
If she's dressed like that, it makes no difference. Her
let me ask
money
a question
was
here.
Just as good as yours.
Let me ask a question here, Bobby. The $20 bill.
I gave her the 20. I said, go buy yourself a hat.
She did it because she knew she did the woman wrong. That's why she gave it to her.
Oh, you're such a genius.
You damn right. I know right from wrong.
You're such a genius.
I've been to college. I know right from wrong, and you should know this, too. Do you have a degree in good common sense?
Okay, Einstein.
All right, Einstein. Do you have a degree in good common sense?
You must, what, did you split the atom, too?
You must not have a degree in good common sense.
No,
and you don't have any in good morality at all.
Okay, Stephen Hawking.
Oh, now what are you doing,
you say,
okay?
But I know when I violated a person, and you know it too. You should be on
I
your knees
the one
right
violated.
And asking that woman for forgiveness.
I was the one violated.
You did that lady wrong.
She violated me with a broom
she
handle.
Didn't violate you. She had just as much right to anything in that store as you did. There's nothing special about you.
You know, Benny, you try to get my California Kings, you'd be talking to my go-go boots.
It wouldn't make any difference. See how I say it? You don't have common sense.
Right.
You show it. You don't have common sense. I see why you pushed it. You don't know no better. You're a special case.
Both of you, Mr. Hinder, you and Benny can go straight to the nether reaches.
Jesus, she hung up on me.
The woman doesn't have common sense.
Did she just tell us to go straight to the nether reaches?
Like I say, this is supposed to be an educated woman with no common sense. She only has a degree in ignorance.
What does
That's
that mean,
all.
Talk to my go-go boots?
I don't know.
Right.
The woman is off.
Right.
She's just off. She,
right.
has, she can't make an excuse for doing a person wrong.
Yeah, she's mental. All right, thanks, Betty. All right,
uh-huh.
Thank you. I'm telling you, it's one of those goofy deals, you know. I mean, the lady, she was at the after Thanksgiving sale, and she was standing there, and she told, man, if you hang up on me.
Phil, you and Benji can kiss my California King.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Talk Radio's prodigal son. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On our show yesterday was Herb Sewell, an author who wrote a book called Any Way the Wind Blows, 35 Years in Meteorology, and it told the story of his 35 years as a TV weatherman. However, that's not why he was on the show. He was on our show to explain his side of a debacle. He went to his business associate's house for Thanksgiving, and wound up having sex with the guy's 16-year-old daughter, and he doesn't get why his business associate is so upset, but the guy better get over it, or Herb may fire him.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Thank you. I'm not sure this gentleman's name. I did not understand his name.
Herb Sewell. Herb Sewell, sir.
Herb. Okay,
yes, sir.
Herb. Well, I applaud your gonads for coming on the program, but I think you're a sick individual. And if it would have been my daughter, and I do have a daughter that's 22,
please don't interrupt me.
I've been listening to you.
Why do we care what you do? It wasn't you, it was me.
Let me speak, okay? This is my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And my opinion is if you would have been having sex with my daughter, I will face a jury trial because I would have taken a baseball bat to you.
And then
I would have removed your genes from the gene pool.
And I'd sue you.
I think you're a sicko, and you're one of the problems in this country.
And you'd be my slave. You'd be my
slave. Your opinions on how you think you should be allowed to behave with other people, especially a 16-year-old, I would have done the world a favor and taken you out.
And she played Coldplay for me.
I could care less if you're the boss for you to say.
What are you going to do when I say to you?
And if this man does anything, he's out of your company?
John.
What kind of company do you think you run?
John, what are you going to do if I have sex with your daughter? What? You going to tell me what to do? I'm the boss.
I'll break your neck. Do you understand?
And then I'd fire you.
I would break your neck.
I would fire you.
You wouldn't be able to fire me, dude, because you'd be paralyzed from the neck down.
Well,
if you lived, and I'll take my chances with
a
jury.
The good news is this, John. I'd never go to bed with your daughter. I like women with teeth. Yeah.
You know,
the thing is, my
16-year-old daughter has more sense than you do as a 41-year-old.
I would never disgrace your daughter by going to bed with her. I like them under 300 pounds.
Oh, my daughter doesn't weigh 300 pounds, dude.
You've seen her naked?
Okay, now look it.
Well, this guy wants to talk about his daughter. Let's talk about her. Has she got all of her teeth?
Hey, I forget. What was your name?
My name's Herb Sewell.
Herb, would you give out your address, Herb?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
631. I like 16-year-olds Avenue.
Yeah, you're not totally crazy, are you? Because you know there's some people out there
in California
that are coming to pay you a visit
California.
For taking care of this 16-year-old.
All right, I live at 2121 103rd and Avalon, Watts. Yeah. Don't want to come down there either, do you?
All right, look, guys, we don't need...
John, you're a good man. I'd like you to work for me.
Yeah, no thanks. I wouldn't want a job with you.
John, thank you.
Because I have morals. No thanks. You couldn't pay me to work for you, buddy. You could not pay me six figures or seven figures.
Well, let me tell you, the
16-year-old... I don't want to work for a person like you.
The 16-year-old
because
I have
morals.
I'm a better man for it, I'll tell you that.
No, you're not. You just think you triumphed over a woman...
Look, John...
...who is not a woman. She's a child.
John, there's going to be an opening.
And you didn't get any kind of conquest. You just got a nut off.
Look, there happens to be an opening because I'm going to be firing Don tomorrow.
You realize... You're beyond help, buddy.
Can I say one thing?
You just need to put the gun in your mouth and pull the trigger.
Can I say one thing?
Because nobody can help you.
Can I say one thing? I've got an opening for a guy with a 16-year-old.
No, I'm tired of listening to you, man.
Hey, forget about your daughter. How's your wife look?
You're sick. My wife is gorgeous. And
I
met my wife when she was 12 years old.
You're hired.
And we've been married 23 years.
You met her when she was 12 years old.
She was 12 and I was 15.
Six.
I was 15.
Oh, you like him young, huh?
All right. I sense, Mr. Sewell, that you are recalcitrant, that you don't care that you might have hurt this 16.
Oh, will you guys get off? You might have hurt this 16. Has anybody called her and talked to her? No, I'm listening to John.
You have no clue.
And by the way, John,
quit
calling up and offering up your toothless 16-year-old. I'm not interested.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Real bastard, a real sick bastard. Naturally, he'll probably make it on our 2004 best of Herb Sewell. Author. 1-800-449-8686. Say, friends, get on over to that website, the Phil Henry Show website. Everything you need to know about our show, all the classic comedy that we produce on our show daily goes into an archive there, and you can access it, and you can download it. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm imagining things? You can download it simply by going to www.philhenryshow.com. And for $6.95, you get a backstage pass. And that gives you all the access, not only to our audio, but occasionally we've got a video thing going on there. Are we going to do our, I think we're going to do our webcast. We're working on doing another webcast, which we do every year, so that you can actually see us perform our show. Because most radio shows, you can stick a camera on it, and it's the same boring thing day in and day out. It's not really very much to look at. Our show is rather special to look at, to the point where we do get a lot of people who subscribe to our webcasts. So we'll do it this year as a Christmas treat. And then don't forget, of course, you can go into our souvenir shop and pick up a ton of stuff for Christmas. All of your Christmas shopping, from the Phil Henry black and white coffee and latte mug to our Ted's of Beverly Hills deluxe barbecue set. And by December the 8th, I got to let you know this, and I totally blew it. By December the 8th, you have to place your order for the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole Polar Fleece Pullover. Ted's of Beverly Hills with a new location at the North Pole. And this is the Polar Fleece Pullover. I bet you there isn't a man out there that knows what the hell I'm talking about, but there's got to be a couple of women who, you know, you can explain it to them. It's a cool-looking shirt. But you got to get the order in for this by December the 8th. What does that mean? It's a limited edition item. Whereas we sell our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and our Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu shirt and all the stuff year-round, this baby has got to be ordered by December the 8th, then we're done. So if you want a real collector's item, man, you got to get this Ted's of Beverly Hills North Pole Polar Fleece Pullover. And you need to order it by the 8th. So go onto our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and pick that baby up. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're also going to be signing our Best Of CD at Dave & Buster's on December the 23rd from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., Dave & Buster's, and they're located at the block at Orange. And that will be on December the 23rd. It's our annual signing that we do for our CD. All right, so what the hell was I going to do here? I forget. What? Phil explains a news story. Oh, yeah. I got a Phil explains a news story here. You know, every now and again we'll break one out just so. Which one was it, though? Is it the sports agent? Is it the. Oh, here it is. Aha. Yesterday we did a Phil explains a news story. We're going to do another one today because they're coming fast and furious. What does it mean when I say Phil explains a news story? It means once you learn how to read the news. When you're going on a website and you're looking at all that bull crap that you see, and a guy says this happened and that happened, so you assume it must be true that it happened, and don't tell me that you don't. Don't tell me you read the news with a critical eye, because I know you don't. So don't even go there. You don't, and that's all there is to it. I'm going to tell you how you can. With Phil teaches you how to read a news story step by step. If you send away now for my $20 packet, no, if you just listen, I'm going to show you. Here's the story. Davie police arrested a woman who rammed her car into a gas pump early Tuesday morning, causing the pump to explode and catch fire after an attendant refused to sell her alcohol. That's a suspect sentence. You guys were ready for me to move on, weren't you? No. Did she ram the pump? If she rammed the pump, was it accidentally or on purpose? The way this is written, it's written as if she did it on purpose because a guy wouldn't sell her booze. Let's just say that it's true the guy wouldn't sell her booze, and let's say it's true that she hit the pump. It doesn't necessarily mean the two are connected. Why do I say that? The next sentence provides the clue. Shortly after 5 a.m., police say Deborah Ann Marin, who appeared to be inebriated, walked into the Citgo gas station, North University Drive, and tried to purchase wine and beer. The clerk refused. She became irate and started to scream. All right, who gets irate and screams if they can't get booze at 5 a.m.? You got it, an alcoholic. Now, alcoholics get something called the DTs. It's not a very good thing to be operating a motor vehicle when you see imaginary mice running up on the ceiling of your car. It's possible that the ramming of the gas pump, therefore, was an accident and not purposeful. Also, it's possible the woman is a raging alcoholic in the throes of the delirium tremens and therefore might have been not, in control of her wits. We know this. It says here that she jumped into her dark-colored car and squealed out of the parking lot. Before leaving the area, she slammed on her brakes and raced backward in her vehicle, striking a gas pump. How do we know she wasn't trying to back up as opposed to race and slam into the pump? Well, the police received a call of a domestic disturbance at North 77th and North 31st. Officers found her, who matched the description. She was arguing with her boyfriend. She's white trash, who is a drunk, and accidentally ran into the pump. She didn't do it on purpose, and she wasn't, you know, mad at the store. You see? How do I know? I was the boyfriend she was arguing with. All right, we'll be right back.